This is Jim Inkster. Coming next on Talk Louisiana, Tom Aswell, the publisher of Louisiana Voice, will comment on the 7th special session of the Louisiana Legislature in the past 29 months. It starts next Monday. Can Governor John Bel Edwards and the Republican majority in the Louisiana House come together on a budget matter? We'll talk about it. It's been a long time coming. Also, congressional candidate Andy Cezanne will talk about her challenge of the popular Republican Garrett Graves in next year's 6th district election. Cezanne is a Democrat from Holden. And Enophile Kathleen Burchard will discuss her book, The Wine Lover's Apprentice. We'll ask her some questions about what is the best corkscrew and things like that. Now the news on 89.3 WRKN. This is Jim Inkster. Thanks for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Becca Dill and Ali Baltazar are our producers, and Tom Aswell is our leadoff guest, the publisher of Louisiana Voice. A muckraker like few others, the man from Ruston is hot on the trail of the Louisiana legislature right now, and it's easy to find them. They're usually at the state capitol 7 times for special sessions in the last 29 months, and now we are 18 days away from the so-called fiscal cliff. And Tom Aswell, you look like you're just beaming with optimism about what's about to happen.
Afraid not, Jim. I don't have much faith in the legislature at all.
Why?
It's just too fractious. They're just too divided. You've got Lance Harris and his crew that are just not going to agree to anything that the governor wants, and the governor doesn't have the ability or the willingness or whatever it is to force their hand on anything. I mean, he is vetoing a few projects now, which he should have done a long time ago. But he's just not doing what I think he should be doing to try to get his message across.
He got 63 votes in the last special session.
But
and to put that in perspective, we've seen how difficult Donald Trump has had getting a majority in the United States Senate, and he has a majority from his party.
That's correct.
Here's John Bel Edwards, who's playing a bad hand with about a third of the senators being Democrats, and he needs two-thirds of their support, which, to do the math, obviously he needs half of the Republicans and all of the Democrats in the Senate and the House. The House, of course, is the real culprit here. The Senate has largely been supportive of the governor. But in the math is the same in the House. So he got 63 votes out of 104 that voted. He needed 70. Can he get 70 votes?
I don't know. If he were to tear a page out of the Ronald Reagan playbook, I think he could. And that's when he would have to go directly to the people of this state, every single parish. I would go on a tour of Louisiana if I were John Bell. And I would go to Ruston and say, you need this for Louisiana Tech and Grambling. You need this for U.S. 167. Mm-hmm. Go to Tensaw Parish and say, in St. Joseph, you need this for your water, because they've had some serious mm-hmm. water problems there. Go to each individual parish, address each specific need in each parish. We don't have the money to give you this. If you want it, you're going to have to make some decisions. And I think he could get what he wanted if he were to do that.
Well, he is a Democrat, and he went to Lafayette before the last special session. He had Billy Nungesser, a Republican, introduce him, and the lieutenant governor. Nungesser was criticized by some Republicans for being in the same company as a Democrat.
That's part of the game. That's what I'm talking about. You've got a faction in the legislature that's not going to give John Bel Edwards a time of day.
You're quoting the Bible in some of your missives.
Not I.
Gerald DeRusso, one of your guest columnists?
Yes.
Well, I saw a few quotes that I thought were attributed to you, but they came straight from the good book. And I guess you and Gerald are in concurrence that some of the things the legislature is doing are not concurrent with biblical translation. Why?
I would agree with that. Why? I think that's the answer is pretty obvious if you read the Bible. And I'm not a Bible scholar, and I'm not overzealously religious or anything like that. But if you read the Bible, it says, you know, comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. Help the sick, you know, help the poor. And this is what Jesus taught. And if you're a Christian and you adhere to those principles, then, you know, you're talking the talk but not walking the walk.
But we tend to interpret the Bible the way we want to interpret
yes.
it.
Yes.
I remember being in church a few years ago, actually it was last year, at the Church of the Good Shepherd, the only Catholic church in Beverly Hills, and the priest read the passage about it being easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God, and there was an audible groan in the church.
Well, I guess, I don't know. Gerald suggested that column herself. She volunteered it, and I liked it, but I had to cut her back. Her first version was about 4,000 words. I told her it was a little bit long. She cut it in half, but I thought she did a splendid job on it.
Well, it's at Louisiana Voice, and Tom Aswell is in firefights all over the state, including one in New Iberia, which we might talk about before we part company with Tom today. But the big focus is on the legislature. And if you'd like to join the conversation, we welcome your input at 877-217-5757. Or you can send an email to talk@talklouisiana.org. And Tracy at the Capitol says if Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un can come together, why can't John Bel Edwards and the Louisiana legislature come to a consensus?
That's a very good question. I don't have an answer for that, unfortunately.
Were you impressed with the president?
Well, you asked me a similar question last time I was on here, and I'm going to give you the same answer. Let's wait and see. Mm-hmm. If this works out, then, you know, my hat's off to him. And you know I don't like Donald Trump, but if he can pull this off, more power to him. But I have my doubts.
Well, we'll see, and we'll talk more about this with Andy Cezanne, who's running for Congress, who'll be with us after you, Tom. But I'm sure she'll have some thoughts about our president, and she is a Democrat, and no Republicans are criticizing Donald John Trump.
No, they don't. Well, the speaker, Paul Ryan, did have a.
Well,
little...
yeah, he made an observation and immediately started tap dancing about it. But it was that there was no spy in
right.
the Trump camp.
Right.
That really wasn't a criticism. It was an observation.
Well, to Trump, it's a criticism.
Well, yeah, because it destroys the narrative that he's out there. There was a spy, and there was no spy, just like there was no Obama didn't have a spy Trump Tower either, but that's what he said. And, and the president says a lot of things, and sometimes bluster works. You've seen this in the business world. Sometimes the ones who yell the loudest and pound the table the hardest get their way.
Oh, yeah. And I worked for risk management for 20 years, and I saw attorneys in trials, and it's the same principle there. Sometimes the attorney that yells the loudest wins the case.
The election in Louisiana is 16 months from today.
It's extremely
16
close.
16 months from today, we'll be voting for governor. We'll be voting for the legislature. Now, the congressional election that we're talking about later with Andy Cezanne is this year. But 16 months from today, we've got an election for governor, and it sure looks like things are stacking up where it'll be the two Johns, John Bel Edwards and John Neely Kennedy.
Correct.
How do you handicap that one, Tom Aswell?
Well, right now, I would say the election is Kennedy's to lose.
To lose? Yep. That he's the favorite?
Yes.
Why?
Well, this is a red state, and John Kennedy, despite his hokey homeliness,
homeliness?
Well, maybe so.
Well, I thought that's what you said.
Yeah, that was a
hokiness. His hokiness.
Yeah, that was a Freudian slip. It plays well in Louisiana. People like that. And I think John Kennedy.
It plays well, pretty well nationally.
Yeah.
These national media have fallen in love with John.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to miss him a lot if he comes to Baton Rouge.
The most dangerous place to be in Washington is between Kennedy and a microphone.
877-217-5757. Dan downtown. Dan, you're on the air with Tom Aswell.
Yeah, Mr. Aswell, is the problem that it is such an embarrassment to the Republican donors and their lobbyists to have a governor with a D in back of his name here in Louisiana that they'd just as soon see the disabled go without health care and our children go without affordable higher education than to have such a governor be able to claim any kind of success?
Well, yes, you're correct. This is something I've written about on Louisiana Voice. They will do anything they can to stymie John Bel Edwards. They'll cut their noses off to spite their face.
Well, let's face it, though. He does have a majority of support, and a lot of Republicans voted for a renewal of the tax increase with 63 votes in the House, and he had the Senate. It's fair to say that most of the Republicans in the legislature are on board, but is there a constitutional flaw with two-thirds support needed for just about any tax measure that makes it a very tough lift in this climate?
Yeah.
And it would be tough if David Vitter were governor and proposing this, which he might very well be doing. He probably would have been.
Yeah, well, I think probably Vitter would probably have an easier go of it. Because
he's a Republican.
Exactly. It's like Dan just said.
Well, there is a political element to this, and it's true on both sides. And you and I are old enough to remember the day when David Treen was dealing with a Democratic legislature that would not back him on anything.
I remember Quayle very well.
Yeah, and Quayle would have been a good thing.
Yes, it would.
And Dave Treen went down to defeat, and the state suffered because of it, and it still is. 877-217-5757 is your number. We'll be back with Tom Aswell of Louisiana Voice on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number. You can send an email talklouisiana.org. And if you're in Baton Rouge, the local dial is 297-5633. In just a bit, Andy Cezanne running for Congress, challenging Garrett Graves in a few months for the 6th District Congressional seat. But Tom Aswell, publisher of Louisiana Voice, is in-house and never holds back. And he says he's not all that optimistic that the fiscal cliff will be resolved. And if that doesn't happen, then we're going to have a lot of budget cuts. How will that play, Tom Aswell?
It'll be devastating, absolutely. I mean, we had 8 years of budget cuts under Bobby Jindal, and nothing has changed. Higher education tuition has skyrocketed because of the budget cuts to higher education, and services to the mentally ill, to the poor, and some people say this, you know, that it's just alarmist talk. I don't agree. I think there's some serious problems out there, and the legislature is simply not facing up to its responsibilities.
Many of these lawmakers are term limited. And you would think that those that are term limited, the shackles would be removed if they're not running. Some of them, of course, are going to run for the other
chamber. The glitch
chamber.
Is that they can run for the other chamber.
Is that really a glitch, though?
I think so.
Well, we would have lost John Alario.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, has proved himself, I think, to be not only an able lawmaker, but a guy who somebody ought to write a book about him.
He's probably one of the most skilled legislators of the 144 up there.
Well, I'd hate to think of a legislature right now without John Alario.
Yep.
And in 2 years, we're going to have that prospect, it looks like.
Yep.
I don't think he's going to run again. And he would have to switch chambers yet another time to make this happen. But he has shown that he is resilient, and he switched parties, too.
Yes, he did. He's a long, long-time Democrat. Edwin Edwards ally, and now
he's a Republican.
Yeah,
because that's where the wave has brought him. He could not have survived in West Wego, Louisiana, without switching parties.
Which it tells you something about dedication and the of these politicians, that they're so willing to change their party affiliation just to preserve their position.
Is there anything nefarious about that, though? Politics, one thing I agree with Newt Gingrich on, he said politics is the art of the possible. And if you're going to run as a Democrat and go down in flames, as John Nolario probably would have done, why not switch parties?
I would have more respect for a person that stuck to his principles.
877-217-5757. Mike on Perkins. Mike, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Thank you. I'm curious. These people that say we just need to cut a budget, have they put a budget out there? I hadn't seen or heard one. Have they given us any indication of what they would support?
Well, that's the problem. They're able to talk about all the problems, but they don't have many solutions.
Well, the Republican legislature did pass a budget, and in a provocative move, some called it provocative, Governor Edwards vetoed the budget. Should he have done that?
Well, I mean, even when they passed it, they said it was a make-believe budget. I mean, so, you know, when you come in there with that kind of attitude, yeah, I think the governor did the right thing. I think he stood his ground. He had to.
Now, the governor will be with us next Wednesday, a week from tomorrow, for his monthly radio show, and there will be much to talk about. On his last show, he said that Republicans tried to get him to switch parties, and he declined.
Yeah. I picked up on that rumor and even had a post on it a couple of years ago. Well, I don't know how long. It was over a year ago. And, of course, all hell broke loose when I threw that out there that he might switch parties. The Republican Party said, we wouldn't even have him. Well, sure they would.
Well,
of course they would.
And politically, it might have been a good move, but it sure didn't work out well for Buddy Romer.
No, it didn't, but it worked out well for John Nolario.
Yeah, and Buddy Romer made the mistake after switching to the Republican Party to promptly veto two anti-abortion bills. Not the likely move by a Republican governor, but that was Buddy Romer, always marching to the beat of a different drummer.
Buddy Romer was his own man.
877-217-5757. David in Atlanta. David, you're on with Tom Aswell.
You know, to compare and contrast Virginia, where the Assembly in Virginia recently passed the expanded Medicaid, giving 400,000 people health care, something the previous Republican Assembly opposed. I wonder if Senator Kennedy is going to take a second look at his attitude towards the expanded Medicaid, where 400,000 people in Louisiana have received health care thanks to Governor Edwards. Remember, Kennedy said he'd rather drink weed killer than vote for Obamacare?
He did say that. Yes, he did. And when he was asked to apologize, he did not.
Well, if he counts the votes and sees that the wind's blowing the other direction, he'll change direction just like any other politician.
Well, and we'll talk about this with Andy Cezanne, and she is on deck as our next guest, candidate for Congress in Alabama. Candidates who have criticized the president have paid dearly for doing so. In certain states, it doesn't play very well to be recalcitrant when it comes to the whims and caprices of Donald John Trump, Tom Aswell.
Yeah, well, I really don't know what to say to that, but I know how I feel about Donald Trump, and it's not going to change. I can't stand the guy.
Why? Is it a personal thing?
No, I've never met the guy. I just think he's a clown.
Well, you served, as we noted, during the Vietnam era. You did not have
I didn't have bone spurs.
You didn't have bone spurs. And I've stated this about President Clinton as well. It is remarkable to have men or women, but particularly men, because in your day, women were not in combat, or not most of them were not in the armed forces. But you've got Trump and Clinton and even George Bush, who got a pass in Alabama when he was in the National Guard, never
Correct.
Showed up.
Correct.
These men, all born in the summer of 1946, all evaded warfare. They didn't want any part of Vietnam, and yet they have the power, and each one of them has shown the ability to do this, to send men and women off to wars they would not fight in themselves.
That's correct, and that's why my admiration for Muhammad Ali is so great, because he was also opposed to the war. He wouldn't go into the military, but he opted for jail. I don't think Clinton or Bush or Trump, either one, would have taken jail. And Ali stuck to his principles.
All right. And Donald Trump was going to offer him a pardon, even though a pardon at this point is unnecessary. Yeah. The Supreme Court threw out the charges against
conviction. That's Trump.
Should President Trump, since he pardoned Jack Johnson posthumously, should he pardon Billy Cannon?
Sure, why not?
I think so.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Cannon made a mistake and paid for it, and that's exactly what the lady said, that she had paid her debt to society for the cocaine.
2 days from now, Donald Trump will be celebrating his 72nd birthday. 2 days ago, Bobby Jindal celebrated his 47th, and Tom Aswell wrote the definitive biography about Bobby Jindal. It was not a best-selling book, but it is a very good book from Pelican Publishing, which didn't promote it a great deal, as I recall.
No, they didn't.
But it's a very good book. But Bobby Jindal wanted to be Donald Trump. He wanted to be president. He didn't get one delegate. He spent 8 years as governor trying to be president. Do you think that some of the problems we're experiencing now are related to those 8 years?
In this state?
Yes.
Of course. All the budget cuts. Just look back at the 1 cent cigarette tax. I think it was 1 cent. The cigarette tax, when it expired, he refused to sign the renewal, saying that he was not going to pass any new taxes. It wasn't a new tax; it was a tax renewal, and he was playing. Right. He was playing semantics, and this was the type of thing that he did his entire 8 years, and the damage he did to this state is going to last a long, long time.
Leonard Joseph says, "Why are you maligning legislators? It's the voters that create Louisiana's problems."
Well, yeah, he's right. The voters voted them in. They elected them. But still in all, they elected these legislators to do a job, and they're not doing it.
Andy Cezanne is next, candidate for the 6th District congressional seat occupied by Garrett Graves, who won going away in his reelection quest after knocking off the Cajun Prince, Edwin Washington Edwards. Andy Cezanne will talk about her campaign and her differences with Congressman Graves when we return on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757. Congressional candidate Andy Cezanne is in the House. Andy is 37, a homemaker and a computer person, has a thriving business as well, and she's running against Garrett Neil Graves for the 6th District Congressional seat in a few months, and we'll get her take on why she's gotten into this race. She is a Democrat from Denham Springs. Livingston Parish went 85% for Donald John Trump in the 2016 election. Did you vote for President Trump?
I did not.
You did not.
My husband did, but I did not. We were a house divided, like many.
Okay. Well, he is the president, and he is an issue. And as I noted with Tom Aswell, most Republicans all over the country, but particularly in the South, they're not going to criticize the president of the United States in any way, shape, or form, and Garrett Graves has not done so. Will you criticize the president if you think he's wrong?
I will criticize anyone that I feel is not putting the interests of the people first. You know, even here recently, like rolling back the protections from pre-existing conditions for people. You know, that doesn't help people. That only helps corporations and big, you know, the insurance industry make profit betting against Americans. And so things like this have to be addressed. You have to say, why are we doing this? We're not doing it for the benefit of the people. And, you know, as a software engineer, I collaborate with engineers across the country. And we have to put our ideas on the table. But one of the things we have to do is be willing to have our ideas and the things that we think are going to work to solve a problem criticized, so that we can work through them and listen. That's how you come up with the best possible solution that benefits everyone.
What's your take on the big story of the day, the president of the United States and the president of North Korea coming to terms on an agreement regarding the nuclear capacity of North Korea?
I absolutely think that that is a situation that we need to do everything in our means to try to come to a resolution peacefully. I'm not for, you know, sending our children off to war and creating chaos. I think that we definitely need to work to come to a resolution, so I can right. support that.
Holly in the Garden District notes that there have been several votes, and they've all been along party lines on whether the president should be required to release his federal tax returns, as other presidents have, all the recent ones. Is that something that Congress should weigh in on?
I definitely think that when it comes to in a position of being an authority over the entire nation, I think that we need transparency. I think that this is something that we should expect from all public officials, honestly. Mm-hmm. And so I think it would be beneficial for Congress to weigh in on that.
And at this
for the
point,
people.
The president has not kept his promise to release his tax returns. 877-217-5757 is your number for Andy Cezanne, candidate for the 6th District Congressional seat held by popular Republican Garrett Neil Graves. This will be a tough race, but Andy is diving in. There's another candidate, Justin DeWitt, who also is in the race, and there may be others. So Garrett Graves is going to have company on the ballot in a few months. Lynn in Melrose. Hi, Lynn. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, Jim. Andy, I'm intrigued by your candidacy. I'm a coastal scientist, formerly a professor at LSU, and then I worked in the administrations of five governors in Louisiana on the coastal crisis. I'm intrigued that there are several people running, but I'd like to offer my services. I have a lot of experience with Cary Graves. I've known him since he worked for Billy Tozan many years ago. And I know where the skeletons are buried. So if I can help, I would be glad.
Well, Lynn, since you brought it up, Lynn Barr is the name. Many know him well. He is a environmental expert. Now, that is one of the passions of Congressman Graves. Why do you take exception to him on those lines? I would think you would be largely supportive of what he's done on the environmental front.
No, I beg to differ, Jim. When he worked for David Vitter, then he worked for Bobby Jindal, and signed on to unbelievable, bad things, including building sand berms after the oil blowout. That was a huge mistake. And
all right. Well, your thoughts about the congressman and the environment. Is that an issue that you'll be
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think here in Louisiana, global warming, climate change is something that is real for us. And it is something that there is evidence and proof for. We all know that our coast is eroding. It's a fact. Science has proven it. It's a fact that many of the oil and gas industries have helped contribute to the problem. And us taxpayers are having to solve that problem. As far as Garrett Graves, and we all talked about this in the previous session, about Jindal. Garrett Graves was taken under Jindal's wing and groomed for this position. You know, we talk about why Jindal didn't make it to the presidency, and it's because his policy has helped destroy and deteriorate the economy in Louisiana. Now you have that same policy representing this district. And so that, to me, is a recipe for chaos and keep heading to that direction.
Randall and Walker. Randall, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with Andy Cezanne. Hi, Randall.
Hey, how y'all doing this morning?
Fine.
Listen, I want to bring up health care. I think the long tradition we had in the state of Louisiana, having the second oldest charity hospital in the country, I think Louisiana should support a candidate who is for health care, and I'd like to ask Ms. Cezanne, would she support Medicare for everybody?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, one of the things about why I'm running, Garrett Graves himself talked me into running in March when we met.
Why is that?
Because, you know, we talked about health care. My mother was diagnosed with cancer in 2015. She has health insurance. She's a small business owner in Baton Rouge. She has health insurance because the ACA. And I do believe it's quite flawed, and I can go into why I think it's flawed. But one of the things that's very important is pre-existing conditions. But one of the things that Garrett Graves expressed to me in this meeting was he's not for Medicare or Medicaid. He doesn't think that these programs are good and help people. And I was, you know, that to me, it
scares
me.
Is he not for them, or is he, does he think they should be tweaked?
He's like, he thinks they're bad health care. He was like, I think Medicaid is bad. And I'm like, why?
Medicaid expansion or Medicaid as a whole?
Medicaid in general, as a whole. And so I was like, why? He said, because it's bad health care. And I'm like, so you think, even, I was like, where's the data that shows that, number one? And then secondly, you think that even if it were bad, you think no health care is better than bad health care. But as far as back to Randall's question, yes, I do believe that we need Medicare for all. It's an option that Americans deserve the right to buy into. Medicare is a popular program that works. And why do Americans deserve less health care or less options instead of more? You can choose between a private or public health care option. And that is something that works for everyone.
877-217-5757. Andy Cezon, candidate for 6th District Congress. She's going to have a tough race. I think you would acknowledge that Garrett Graves will be extremely difficult to beat. This district, of course, has also been gerrymandered. It should have Southern University and North Baton Rouge in it. That district, that part of the district now is in the one occupied by Cedric Richmond. So it's obviously not the same 6th district it used to be.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. One of the biggest problems in our political system, this is, you know, in from federal, state, local, is money and politics. And money is driving our elections. Our representation that we have, they don't represent us. They represent the corporate donors. That's who they vote in the interest for. And that reflects in many of the decisions that have been made in Congress and even in our state legislative, a special session, everything. You know, you can see that money is what threatened the vote for our budget.
All right. Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Phil, you're on the air with Andy Cezon. Hi, Phil.
Hi, Jim. Yes, I agree with what you're saying. Your policy is for health care. If everyone was on Medicare, you would have the choice to buy private insurance, but you'd also have a program that would start when you're born. What's your stand or position on raising revenue for the state?
That's a great question. You know, one of the things, if you look at every system that we have and every problem that we have in that system, it relates to the same thing. And it also goes back to money and politics. You know, healthcare. We cannot negotiate the price of prescription drugs for Medicare and Medicaid. That's a huge problem, especially if we go into a Medicare for all. We have to repeal the legislation that prevents us from negotiating that. All that is to benefit corporations that have spent all the money in the elections, that have hired the representatives that keep that in place so that they can benefit over people. We have to start putting people first. That's where the problem is. That would free up billions of dollars. You know, that could help us restore our coastline. That can help us fund our education. That could help us fund health care.
All right. You say your deciding factor for entering the race was your ninth grade daughter coming to you in tears after the shooting at Parkland High School in Florida. What happened?
Yeah, absolutely. And that was another interesting conversation I had with Graves as well. Now, you know, my daughter came to me and wanted to participate in the walkouts. And I was like, okay, well, let me email the administrators and let them know. She came home that day crying because they told her that if she participated anyway, they went in all the classrooms and said, if y'all participate, you're going to get suspended. So I helped organize Indivisible Livingston Parish, which is a group that has helped take policy at a federal level, state level. Anyway, I have resources and across the state. So I asked her if she wanted me to use these resources to help her organize the march, and we did. One of the things about me, we're gun owners. My husband is a police officer. I am definitely for the Second Amendment.
Okay, hold that thought, and we'll return with more from Andy Cezon back after this pause on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. A few more minutes with Andy Cezon, if you'd like to join the conversation as we finish our conversation with the congressional candidate in the 6th District, 877-217-5757. Andy's from Denham Springs, mother of four, a computer software engineer. Her husband is a police officer. Her father was an iron worker and mother a hairdresser and business owner. I think still working, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. It's fair to say you weren't born with a silver spoon and weren't born on third base as Jim Hightower said that about George Bush the First, whose birthday, by the way, happy birthday, former President Bush, 94 today. But Andy Cezanne, how are you going to raise money? How are you going to beat an incumbent who's probably going to have $1 million or more at his disposal?
Absolutely. That's a great question. What I've been doing is creating one of the largest volunteer bases that we can. What I need for people to do is if you want change, then you need to get involved in a campaign and help be part of that campaign. And be part of that change. My campaign is not for me. I'm not running for office because I need a career or want a career. I have a great career. I'm running for office because we desperately need change in a system that is broken, that is rigged against average people from being able to run for office and to have fair representation. Our representation doesn't represent us. Again, they represent their corporate donors, and that's a problem. So, you know, if we want change, we have to be that change. And so as far as raising money, you know, I wake up at 5:30 every morning. I work till 9. I'm on call time, reaching out to business owners, letting them know I'm in the race. Along with working my 40-hour-a-day work week, mm-hmm. I'm fortunate to work for a company that helps me work my schedule around campaigning. I'm at events. I'm on the phone. I'm connecting with people. I'm asking for help. I need your support. I want people to go out and donate. You can donate at voteandy.com/donate. And so it's up to people that want change to be part of that change. We'll never have change if we don't actually take action and do it.
Well, we wish you well on the campaign trail and look forward to talking with you and Congressman Graves, who I'm sure will be ready to answer some of your charges today. But it's going to be an interesting campaign. And Justin DeWitt also is an active Democrat in this race. So Garrett Graves will have some company on the ballot, and there might even be a runoff. But as stated, Garrett Graves is almost certainly to be reelected, but Andy and Justin will have something to say about how difficult it will be for him to win another term in office. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Kathleen Burchard is with us. She has 15 years of experience in the food and wine industry, has honed the art of matching people with wine. She lives in New York City, has some 600 bottles in her wine cellar, and her book is The Wine Lover's Apprentice, Words of Wisdom for Would-Be Enophiles. And good morning to you, Kathleen Burchard.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing well. It's nice to talk to you. And 600 bottles of wine. For the novice, where do we start if we want to drink good wine?
The first place to start is really understanding your palate and what you like and how to describe a wine so that when you're at a restaurant or you're in a wine store, you can say, oh, I like something that's really fruity, or I love earthier flavors, or I like oak, or I don't like oak, and then let people sort of help guide you to new discoveries that you get to try.
How long have you been doing this, Kathleen?
I have been doing this, I've been in the food and wine business for about 15 years, but my book just came out, and it was sort of the culmination of the classes that I teach with people. And I always say there's no such thing as a stupid wine question, and there really isn't, because people have tried. And it's all about learning, and it's about making it fun. And that's really where the book came in. All of these classes and these questions and these ideas that my students had kind of gelled into the Wine Lover's Apprentice.
Well, for those who have had a few bottles of wine, there are distinctions. And when we taste wine, what are we tasting?
Oh, you are tasting. So there's a couple of really broad categories. When you're tasting an Old World versus a New World wine, and Old World wines are basically Europe, and New World wines are basically everywhere else. The New World wines tend to be fruitier. They tend to be a little more exuberant. You know, you tend to think strawberries, blueberries, raspberry. They might be big. They might be a little bit juicy. An Old World wine is a little bit more reserved. It might be sort of a little bit leaner in flavor. It's something you can kind of feel on the palate. I know it sounds funny to describe, but when you're drinking, pay attention, and you'll kind of be like, oh, that tastes fuller. That's kind of thin. So that's more of an Old World style. It's earthier flavors, maybe a little bit more floral, mm-hmm. or things like tea or cola that maybe sound weird, but work when you taste those kinds of wines.
And when we go to a fine restaurant and we get this wine list with all these offerings, for some this can be a bit overwhelming. How do we navigate the wine list at some of these fine establishments?
Well, there are a number of different strategies to use. If it's a really important occasion, you might want to, you know, go to the restaurant beforehand or look at their wine list online to kind of figure out what you're looking for. A couple of good go-tos are Pinot Noir, because those are just really food-friendly wines. Or if you're a white wine person, look for a white wine from Burgundy.
All right. What's the best corkscrew to use?
The one that's easy for you to use. Like, I know people who have that rabbit corkscrew, that, you know, that really sort of big one with the lever handle. And I know people who love it, and I can't stand it. A client actually introduced me to, like, this $20 corkscrew that's automatic. You just push a little button, and it drills down and pops back up, and you're good to go. So it's really what you're comfortable with. But a favorite, if you like a manual corkscrew and just something basic, it's called the waiter's corkscrew. It has two little hinges on it to give you two different lever points. Makes it easier.
All right. And when we're serving guests, what's the best glassware? Does the size matter?
Size does not matter in this case. And again, it really comes down to your personal preference. I have friends who, you know, were charmed when they went to Europe, and they were in Italy, and all the old grizzled Italian men were drinking their wine out of basically what looked like, they weren't, but they looked sort of like mason jars, just kind of these smaller, almost juice glasses. And so they really get a kick out of serving from those kinds of glasses. Just make sure you have one that's maybe a little bit bigger and more rounded. It doesn't matter if it's stemless or has a long stem or a short stem or is expensive, but kind of a nice round glass is a good all-purpose to bring out the best in the wine and your drinking experience.
You have 600 bottles in your wine cellar. How often do you replenish this? Do you go through these 600 every month or two?
If only. No. We unfortunately have 600 bottles because we buy more wine than we tend to drink. And it's just a function of our love of wine. And, we love this. Let's buy some. Let's buy some of this. And we just don't drink enough. And we beg all of our friends to come over and help us go through the wine, but it's still going to take a few years.
What's the oldest bottle of wine you have, Kathleen?
Ooh, actually, it's funny that you ask that. It's a 1968 Barolo, because it was just my husband's 50th birthday, so I got it for him as a present, and we get to drink a wine that's as old as he is.
Well, that's apropos. Well, for those just starting wine collections and organizing their wine cellars, what advice do you impart? I know you do this for clients, so what's the Cliff Notes version of it?
So the Cliff Notes version is have a budget, and don't feel like you need to buy the highest end stuff or the most collectible. You're not going to be buying the least expensive stuff either. You're not going to get by with, you know, $10 bottles. But sort of know your palate and what you enjoy drinking, and then find really good value wines that fit your budget. So that means maybe if you really like, you know, Bordeaux, but you can't afford the $600 bottles, a lot of estates make a second or third label that might be $200 or even $100 a bottle, which will give you a really good value, but a wine that will keep an age and make a nice start for a collection.
Now, some people, of course, make the trek to Northern California, to wine country. If they do this, what advice do you have for people on the best places to go?
Ask your friends, see what you like, and be willing to be adventurous. Try to find a couple places off the beaten path, and, oh, I've never heard of this place, let me go in there. It always helps to make appointments. A lot of places you can walk in, but you're not going to get the same attention and have the same experience as if you let them know that you're coming.
But you, in the book, you focus on Monterey and Sonoma, the usual spots, Napa. What about abroad, France and Italy? I know you have been there. Any thoughts on wine in Europe?
Oh, wine in Europe is really terrific. And one of the best values that I found, I'm actually going in a few weeks to Portugal, and I find that those offer some of the most amazing values for wine because they're a little bit under the radar screen. So you get this incredible quality for not a lot of money. You can spend $15 a bottle and, you know, be blown away by the wine that you're getting.
Well, you know your wine, and it is all in the book, The Wine Lover's Apprentice, Words of Wisdom for Would-Be Enophiles. And you say to know your grapes. How do we know our grapes?
You read the chapter titled Know Your Grapes. No, you have a fundamental understanding of the book focuses on the major wine grapes. You know, Chardonnay, Sauvignon Blanc, Riesling. It goes to your red wines, your Merlot, your Cabernet. We talk a little bit about Gamay, Grenache. So kind of understand the flavor profiles of the grapes, what you're going to get. You know, Cabernet tends to be, dark berries and eucalyptus. Merlot tends to have a very velvety texture. So when you put those ideas together with knowing where the wine is from, that new world, old world dichotomy of flavors, you'll have a pretty good idea.
Well, thank you, Kathleen Burchard. The book is The Wine Lover's Apprentice. We're back tomorrow. Until then, for Allie and Becca, I'm Jim. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
For a podcast of today's show, go to WRKF.org or find the Talk Louisiana podcast on the WRKF app. We welcome your feedback and topic suggestions. Email us at talk@talklouisiana.org. Talk Louisiana is a production of WRKF in Baton Rouge.